Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paul Barkish.
I like this kind of party.
The Score senior football expert.
Once you put all the evidence that we have together, that's the bottom line.
Pro Football Weekly, Shaw Media, and Westwood One.
It goes deep. Hub does too.
Analyzing the Bears and the NFL.
This was an ongoing conversation at Hallis Hall for literally a couple months.
Hub Arkish with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Let's talk some football with Hub Arkish. He's on Twitter at Hub_Arkish of Pro Football Weekly. He is down in Miami at the Super Bowl, but he joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. All right, Hub, set the scene right now from your perspective.
Well, it's certainly an interesting start, guys. The weather is sensational down here. Not that anybody wants to hear that back in Chicago. I guess it's going to go south, no pun intended, Friday into Saturday, but they're saying for Sunday it should be really good. Have gotten already a pretty good amount of time with both the Chiefs and the 49ers. Both teams extremely relaxed, enjoying the scene so far. A lot of young players who've never been here before. There's been a couple of situations to me as they relate to our life with the NFL in Chicago that are really interesting. Spending time around Patrick Mahomes and Jimmy Garoppolo, irrespective of what they do on the football field, these kids just aren't anything like Mitch Trubisky. And this is where, when we get into the whole Mitch conversation, I think what a lot of fans miss is it's a lot more about the mental side with him than it is the physical side. And it's one of the reasons that I hold out hope that the kid may still have a career, because at some point, if the light goes on, things get interesting. But it's very different talking to these guys than it is when you spend time with Trubisky.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend who's down there alongside a lot of that media. I was telling Mike Florio about this too. People are saying that Patrick Mahomes is really kind of seizing this opportunity in a very good way, in a meaningful way, as perhaps, you know, might set him up to be the real, true, long-term face of the NFL. Talent does enough, but it sounds like he's got the kind of gravity to have cameras in his face, to have the microphone for a little while.
You know, Connor, it's interesting you say that, because he's comfortable with it. There's no question about that. But he's a little awkward at times, and not in a bad way. But, you know, we forget that these guys are 24, 25 years old. He's a little fidgety. You know, he talks pretty fast. But he definitely, you know, is saying what's on his mind, and he's being himself. And there's nothing in a braggadocio type way. I mean, he seems like a good guy. His teammates certainly seem to like him. He's got a little bit of gee whiz about him, which I didn't expect, you know, but he has been impressive. There's no question about that.
What's at stake for Andy Reid here? Where does he, with a Super Bowl win, with that stamp of validation, how is he viewed in his era and in NFL history as a coach?
You know, Dan, it's such a great question, because I think where he may be at is this may be the difference between Canton or not. And I don't know that it should be. He's the seventh winningest coach in NFL history with well over 200 victories. You know, took the Eagles to five straight NFC title games, has been to one Super Bowl before. But winning the ring, you know, seems to be the thing with the special class that they just inducted, putting Bill Cowher in with one ring and jumping him over some guys with two rings and as many wins, you know. So certainly some of it is just personality. There's no question that a lot of these greats who end up with regular network TV gigs have an advantage over other players and coaches who may have been as good or even a little bit better. I've always maintained that's how Howie Long got in as quickly as he did. I'm not saying he shouldn't have been a Hall of Famer, but was really surprised when he went in when he did. We've now seen the same thing with Cowher and with, of course, Jimmy Johnson. And again, I think that Jimmy Johnson is very deserving. I have my questions about Cowher. And so for Reid, I think he needs this win to solidify the legacy. He can't I shouldn't say he can't. I don't think he wants to be remembered as the NFL's best coach that never won the big game.
I'll be honest, as I've thought about Reed's legacy myself over the last couple of weeks, really, it's been hard for, I have to fight this thought that keeps popping up into my head that says, well, even if they don't get this one, it's Reed and Mahomes for the next decade. They'll get one. It's strange to feel that way because I know the NFL isn't promised the next season. Just look at the Bears. But it's really tough to fight that in my own brain here the last week or so.
I understand what you're saying, Connor, but if I were you, I would fight it because we know about this game as rewarding and you know, as big as these guys get, they come crashing down pretty quick. I mean, nobody had any inkling two seasons, a year and a half ago, that there was anything wrong with Antonio Brown, and look what's gone on there. You know, you can debate the political merits all you want, but Colin Kaepernick was certainly on the fast track, and look what's happened with him. You know, when it comes to coaches, we've seen how fickle ownership and fan base can be with small slumps and short losing streaks. So these opportunities, man, they better grab it Sunday, because while certainly you like their chances of getting back here again, it would not be at all shocking if they didn't either. And that's what makes this game so special.
We learned that Mitchell Trubisky had surgery to repair a torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder, I think to no one's surprise, seeing that he was playing with a harness. How hurt was he, and how much do you think that affected him?
Well, having torn that, I know that it can be painful. And so, you know, the question becomes the severity of the tear. You know, the rehab should not be a problem. I think he will be fine going forward. But the question is, you know, as far as how was he playing, you know, I'm guessing that he was playing through some pain. But, you know, I can't guess for him, Dan. I can tell you that it is a very painful injury with any kind of movement. And so the fact that it was on the left shoulder doesn't mean that it didn't impact his throwing at all. But without knowing the severity of it, I just can't really say.
Is it safe to say, though, that when... I mean, it's safe to say, but I keep trying to infer from the last end-of-season press conference, you know, Matt Nagy says he wants his quarterback to become a master of coverages. They didn't put that injury out there as any kind of shield for Mitch's season. They didn't seem to want to, I mean, they didn't bring it up all that much either. Just the off-season surgery was kind of dismissed, if I recall, when Ryan Pace was asked about it.
Well, it was, Connor, but I mean, you know, the fact that he missed time and we saw exactly when the injury occurred, I don't think anybody was, you know, low-keying it or disputing it in any way. And because it was mid-season, you know, it just doesn't feel like there would have been any plan for later in the season or after the season. So, I think it is what it is. I think he was hurt. I think he played through some pain. But was it, you know, the most heroic performance in history? Not necessarily. Some of these guys, they're all hurt by the time you get to midseason later in the season. And I can tell you that had it been his throwing shoulder, he wouldn't have been playing with it. And so at least in that regard, there was an advantage. But no, I don't think it was used as an excuse in any way.
When the Bears fired Harry Hiestand from the offensive line coach position in favor of Juan Castillo, people were still extolling the virtues of Harry Hiestand, saying, yeah, it wasn't necessarily a good fit. Maybe the relationship didn't work or for whatever reason, but nobody doubts his coaching chops. Why hasn't he been hired yet?
I don't know that he wants to coach, Dan. I haven't talked to Harry, since he was let go. But I do know that there are some family considerations, and I want to say that one of his sons was entering one of the military academies. I think, you know, when you are a nomadic coach in the NFL, there are questions about, you know, where you want to end up, where you're going to make your home. So I don't know. I'm not saying that he has been offered opportunities he's turned down, but I do know that people close to him were not at all sure that his next step was going to be to jump right into another coaching job.
What do we know about cornerback Trey Roberson, who comes over from the CFL? He obviously played a little bit here locally at Illinois State, a quarterback.
Much like Cam Meredith.
Yeah, a lot like him. Does this mean anything for perhaps Prince Samukamara?
Well, he is allegedly the most valued Canadian Football League free agent available this year. There definitely was a number of teams interested in his services. And the fact that the Bears won out, I guess, tells you something that they sold themselves well and that they were serious about having him. I know that we have been suggesting, really since midseason, that Prince Amukamara could be a cap casualty. I mean, that is almost a full $8 million savings. And so Amukamara has played the best football of his career in Chicago. He's also become an excellent leader and a great presence in that locker room. But there's not a lot of places you can look to find that big a cap savings in one chunk. And so I would say that the combination of getting Roberson, of having Kevin Tolliver possibly ready to play on a regular basis, of having drafted both Duke Shelley and Stephen Denmark last year, still having interest in Michael Joseph, the kid they brought in as an undrafted rookie free agent a year ago out of Dubuque, I would say Prince Amukamara is in pretty serious jeopardy at this point.
Wow. You know, cause the only way you can really find true cap savings in moving some of these guys is if you have starter-ready guys with better contract numbers really ready to step in, and that might be pushing it with Tolliver. I don't know. Do you think the Bears think that Tolliver's ready?
They like him. I know I talked to Deshae Townsend about him with about 3 or 4 weeks left in the season. And it was at the time that Prince was battling that hamstring, and he told me some things that they were really happy about with him. So I can't say for sure, but I think they like Tolliver. And again, this Roberson kid is interesting. Now, again, it was the CFL, but cornerback is one of those positions where a lot of it does tend to be one-on-one when you're playing a lot of man defense, and so you can project them a little easier, I guess I would say, than some other positions. So to me, it sure feels like a move, because don't forget, you know, you got two twos, you got three fives. This is another cornerback deep draft. They can keep adding on, and as you just said, you know, that level of cap savings is hard to find in one guy. And so I think it's a combination of that allowing them to do more things to address the offense. And you got to remember, you've got two first-team All-Pros in that secondary already with Kyle Fuller and Eddie Jackson. And don't forget, they got to sign another starting free safety. Starting safety. So in that regard, I just think there's a lot of reasons to assume that Prince could be in trouble.
I'm looking around at some of the storylines from, you know, media day or opening night, I guess is what they call it now down there. And I had to ask you about this as soon as I saw it. I saw it late the other day. Deion Sanders has apparently told Dan Patrick on his show that Sanders believes he will be a head football coach on the collegiate level as early as 2021. Hub, your thoughts.
Oh man, they better start checking him for CTE. That's not the right thing to say. I apologize for that. That's absurd. Why? Unless he knows something we don't know, unless Florida State is more worried about, you know, boosters raising money or something than they are the football team. I mean, what could there possibly be to recommend Deion Sanders as a football coach, period? You know, let alone as the head coach at the college level. I don't know where that comes from. It sounds more like him trying to keep himself, you know, in the headlines and in front of the cameras than anything realistic. But, you know, he is prime time. The funny thing about it is that when Herm Edwards went to Arizona State, everybody thought it was kind of a joke.
Yep.
But Herm Edwards is a former NFL head coach, so I don't get where Deion Sanders could be coming from.
What's the buzz regarding all of these big-name Hall of Fame-bound quarterbacks? Obviously, the first domino was Eli Manning, just realizing, I probably could hang on a roster somewhere, but I'd rather not because I don't have to and don't want to. And then there's Phillip Rivers and Drew Brees and Tom Brady, all with uncertain futures.
Well, Eli, you know, was very honest up in saying, I'm not going to be a backup, and so unless somebody was willing to hand him a team, that wasn't going to happen. So that is not surprising. I think on the other side of that, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers would all be valued as starters somewhere in the right spot. There's all kinds of, you know, people trying to put two and two together to get four to have Phillip Rivers in Tampa because, you know, he has bought a home in northern Florida. He has left the left coast permanently, so to speak. Doesn't appear that he will be back with the Chargers. But if Tampa doesn't want him, it's quite possible Indianapolis could want him for a year or two while they develop a young quarterback and try and win right now. With Brady and Breeze, in spite of all the intrigue that the media is trying to create, and in some regards that the two players are trying to create, the conventional wisdom down here with everybody I talk to is that they will be the starting quarterbacks for the New England Patriots and the New Orleans Saints again in 2020.
I was just reading news earlier this morning. Apparently, the Texans have decided to give head coach Bill O'Brien another title and its general manager. Is that the right thing for that team?
You know, Connor, it's such a great question because my initial instinct is no.
Same.
It's definitely not. But, you know, you look at the job he's done in the 6 years that he's been there, and it's been with constant turmoil in the front office. He's had three different general managers before he kind of got control. You know, you had one of the more venerable conservative owners in Bob McNair, who passed away, and his son Chris is not well known to a lot of people. Obviously, though, you know, much more willing to do things in a different way. And so I guess they feel, you know, O'Brien is a Bill Belichick disciple. And you look at the success, you know, of Belichick and the Patriot way, and that may be what Chris McNair is thinking. But with what I've seen and what I know of Bill O'Brien, I'm not certain that he's the best coach in the NFL, and nobody really knows much about his front office chops. I mean, the deal for Laremy Tunsil, it turned out that they did get, you know, the franchise type anchor left tackle that they were looking for, who they do now have to re-sign. But they paid a lot, you know, and they didn't get a lot in return for Jadeveon Clowney. But that's because, you know, Clowney was not willing to commit to staying in Seattle or wherever he went. So as you analyze the moves that he's made, you're not impressed, but you realize that a lot of them came with strings. And so it's also hard to be too critical of him.
I know we're going to talk again in a couple days on Friday, your usual spot there, and that's usually when you give your pick for the game. But as you're sort of playing this through in your head, what are your preliminary thoughts on how you see it playing out?
You know, Dan, to me, this game is completely, you know, chocolate or vanilla, and I like both. I don't know what anybody else would say. But, you know, the 49ers, it is all about their physicality on both sides of the football, and they will absolutely beat you into the ground. The Chiefs are really more of a finesse football team, arguably with the most speed of anybody in the NFL. And can they take that pounding, and can they wear the Niners out before they beat them into the ground? Because the Chiefs game is all about speed and run and gun and the video game and see if you can keep up with us. And they couldn't be more contrasting. So I do have a side that I lean to. Folks that have been listening to us for a long time, I'm sure, can figure out what it is. But the game is close enough that you know, why not? Just for fun, let's hold off until Friday. I can certainly right now give you a great argument for either team to win the game. I do think there is one edge that will be the difference in the end, though.
Hub, appreciate it. We'll talk to you Friday.
All right, guys, take care.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.